With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. Hailing a ride through a smartphone app is closer to becoming a reality in Montana. The Public Service Commission today voted to approve rules for a new class of license for firms like Uber and Lyft that use phone apps to connect passengers with drivers who use their personal cars. Applicants must pay a fee and show they have insurance at a much higher level than that required by taxis, among other rules. A new law signed by the governor took away the ability of taxi and limousine operators to block new competitors, allowing other firms to potentially set up shop in the state. The latest update on the fire burning inside Glacier National Park continues to list it at just under 4,000 acres in size and at 67% contained. The weather forecast in the area calls for high temperatures in the 60s and 70s through Thursday, with a 20 to 30% chance for rain. A fire sparked by fallen power lines south of R. Lee Sunday has not grown beyond 17 acres. Devin LaFramboise with the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes Fire Department says the number of people fighting it has been reduced to about 40.
Our biggest obstacle on that is the power lines aren't shut off, so we've been working around the live wires that are in the ground. So we're just waiting for them to fix them and then get them back up in the air. Then we'll be able to contain it.
LaFramboise says the fire is currently 30% contained and that he expects it to be fully contained in a week or so. Longtime sports broadcaster Brent Musburger, who grew up in Billings, will call the season-opening football game between Montana and four-time defending FCS champion North Dakota State in Missoula on August 29th. State regulators today approved new rules to let rideshare companies like Uber and Lyft serve Montanans. Emily Proctor has more.
A Senate bill passed last spring spurred the Public Service Commission to pass regulations for a new class of license. The bill no longer allows taxi and limousine operators to block competitors. Commissioner Travis Kuvala says he's not interested in regulating how much drivers can charge.
And I think our only public interest obligation really is less in the regulation of rates and more in making sure they're merely transparent to the customer.
The commission discussed possible changes in insurance, whether to allow applicants to attest insurance or prove they have it. Commissioners say there will be additional tweaks along the way, but they passed the motion unanimously. These rules will be reviewed August 17th and should be effective by August 27th. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Emily Proctor.
State wildlife officials are investigating a moose poaching near Kalispell, Corin Cates Carney reports.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks game warden Weston Odekoven says we've entered a time of the year when some hunters are getting a little antsy.
Inside the Flathead Valley, the deer start getting their antlers on a little bit more, and people start going out and getting a little fever or whatever to get a early start to it.
The archery season for elk and deer starts September 5th. The general season opens in late October. Odekoven says white-tailed deer are the most commonly poached animals this time of the year, and poachers tend to be young, high school age, or early 20s.
I definitely think they know and understand the rules. I think it's more or less just kind of a thrill-seeking for them, and they figure they're not going to get in trouble and get away with it. The kids kind of have that mentality of they can't catch me, and I think they take advantage of it.
The moose poached near Kalispell was found alongside the Orchard Ridge Road near Foy's Canyon and was left where it was shot and not harvested for meat. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks encourages anyone with information about poachings to call their tip hotline. You can find that number on our website, mtpr.org. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
Two Vermont women suing over the online lending practices of a company owned by the Chippewa Cree tribe are now going after the company's Texas backers. The women allege that Fort Worth-based Think Finance conspired with the tribe in a racketeering scheme. Think Finance officials and Chairman Kenneth Rees did not return calls for comment. A Bozeman man charged with attacking a woman acquaintance was convicted today of aggravated assault and sexual assault, along with charges that he attacked a peace officer, possessed dangerous drugs, and escaped police custody. A Gallatin County District judge will not schedule a sentencing hearing for Kevin Briggs until a sixth and separate charge for failing to register as a sex offender is tried. Briggs' victim, described as an on-again, off-again girlfriend, testified that she passed out after Briggs served her a drink in her apartment in January of 2014. A federal appellate court ordered sanctions today for Yellowstone Club co-founder Tim Blixeth and one of his attorneys for filing a frivolous appeal after a failed attempt to have a Montana bankruptcy judge removed from his case. A 3-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that Blixeth and his California attorney, Michael Flynn, must pay attorney's fees and costs incurred by the Yellowstone Club creditors, who argued against Blixeth's appeal. The amount of the sanctions is yet to be determined. They're also to pay $500 in damages each. In 2010, bankruptcy judge Ralph Kircher issued a $41 million civil fraud judgment against Blixeth and in favor of the creditors. Blixeth then sought to discredit the judge, eventually asking that Kircher be removed from the case for misconduct. At this hour, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has launched a series of public hearings to gauge support for a publicly managed bison herd. Whatever the state decides to do, FWP spokesman Tom Palmer says the interests of the livestock industry will be taken into account.
Livestock interests are extremely interested in this particular EIS, and we'll be hearing from them. Truthfully, if we're going to have them on private or public land, it's going to be with willing landowners. If we have them on large landscapes somewhere, it will be in places where they don't conflict with ranching and livestock operations.
FWP is considering whether bison could be managed on tribal lands, selected public or private lands, or a broad swath of territory across the state. The agency can also choose to keep things the way they are, with bison roaming freely only in Yellowstone National Park and a few conservation herds on private lands. The first public hearing is tonight at the Holiday Inn in Bozeman, with another tomorrow in Billings. Additional sessions are planned for later this month in Great Falls, Malta, and Miles City. The National Park Service this week designated 4 new historic landmarks, and First Peoples Buffalo Jump south of Great Falls is one of them. Montana State Park's Sarah Scott says it's one of the oldest and biggest in North America. She says the new historic landmark designation means the park will be able to get technical preservation advice and access to a little funding from the National Park Service. She says that'll come in handy at a place like First Peoples Buffalo Jump.
There's an incredible artifact collection of over 10,000 artifacts from that site, and we now need to do a lot more collection procedures, just making sure we've got everything cataloged, that it's stored properly, things like that. And that would be where we could go to the Park Service and say, hey, you know, could you help us out with some of this, at least in terms of funding?
Montana has 55 state parks. Scott says First Peoples Buffalo Jump is now the state's 8th National Historic Landmark Park. I'm Eric Whitney.